Hi, it's Karen Webster, and welcome to The Matchmaker Is In. Today, I'm delighted to be joined by Ethan Bernstein, the CEO and co-founder of Freebird. Ethan, thanks for joining me today.
Thank you so much, Karen.
Freebird takes me back to Leonard Skinner. Are you a Leonard Skinner fan?
How could I not be?
Of course. But the Freebird we're talking about today is the mobile solution that you developed that you say helps travelers and travel managers save time and money. How does it do that?
Yeah, well, to get started, Freebird is a mobile flight rebooking tool. We help travelers instantly rebook a new ticket after a flight disruption. So whether that's a cancellation, a delay, a misconnection, we help them do that for free on any airline with only 3 taps on their phone. At the end of the day, the most important thing for travelers is getting to their destination, and that's what we help them do.
So as a business traveler, in fact, I'm taking a trip tomorrow. This sounds like something I can't live without, but have lived without for a while, and the inevitable delays and inconveniences happen on the road. It really is the course of travel these days. What prompted you to start the business? Obviously, there are lots of problems to observe, but why did you decide to build a business around it?
I think, like most founders who get the itch to start a business, it's born out of a personal experience. I have a background in travel. I worked at Expedia in strategy and doing mergers and acquisitions for them for about 4 years. But this idea came to me after I left there. I was actually in business school at the time. I was going on a ski trip with a number of friends, and on the way home, trying to get back to school, flight disruptions occurred, mayhem ensued, everybody ran to stand in line, waited on hold at the call center, paid a ton of money out of pocket if they wanted to take matters into their own hands, and when the dust settled, I went around and talked to, everybody who had been impacted, and 2 things became really clear. The first is that everybody had a miserable experience, and I think we can all relate to that. The second thing was that everybody got back to Boston. So everybody was able to find a way back home. It was just incredibly stressful and inefficient to find the way back home. And so, given my background, I started thinking, well, I know where this information comes from. I know how these decisions are made. I know that there's no product in the market to help solve this. So there's got to be a better way, and that's when I set out to build Freebird.
So let's talk about the mechanics of the business itself, because you clearly need access to supply. So these available flights that can be, in fact, rebooked by a traveler that's had an inconvenience in their own schedule, and you need travelers who know about you. Let's start with the supply side first. How do you actually get all of the inventory onto your platform?
Yeah, absolutely. So, in the corporate travel space, when you go on business travel, there's kind of 2 different segments of the business travel market. One is called managed business travel, and the other is called unmanaged. They're pretty self-explanatory, but managed is when you use a corporate travel agency to go and book your trip, and you can do that online on a website or call into an agent. Unmanaged is, when you just go to Expedia.com or another website and purchase it yourself, even though you're going on a business trip. We at Freebird focus on the managed corporate travel segment. And because we're working with these agencies that already provide travel services to these companies, their clients, we're able to plug into their system and access the inventory that already exists within that platform. So we're piggybacking on that system, and it actually has a number of different benefits, not only for the travelers, but for the travel managers and the agencies. When we go in and help travelers to rebook, we're doing so in the exact same system that they would normally. We're just helping them do it more efficiently and at no cost. And so, from what's called a duty of care perspective, we're actually able to preserve that duty of care, which is the responsibility companies have to keep their employees safe. They need to know where the employees are and where they're going. So by going into their existing system and booking the trip for them using their own supply, they're able to keep track of people, and it ends up working out really well for everybody involved.
Got it. So you are obviously also able to tap into whatever negotiated rates the travel agency working with that corporate, with that company has been able to negotiate.
That's correct. But from a company's perspective, we at Freebird are actually paying for the new ticket. So when a flight disruption occurs and a traveler needs to move really fast, the last thing that they should be thinking about is, how much is this going to cost? Is my boss going to get angry at me? Is this within our official corporate travel policy? All those kinds of, is it going to break my P&L for the month? That's the last thing that should be on their mind. It's far more expensive for them to be unproductive or to miss a meeting than to take care of their travel needs right when they need to. And so what Freebird provides is the ability, again, to move exceptionally fast, rebook in three taps. They're able to pick from any airline, so they don't have to just choose from the existing or the original flight, the airline that they're on. And they don't have to worry about how much it costs, because Freebird is actually paying for the new ticket.
So how does the economics of your business then work? Because you have this traveler who has an unused portion of a ticket that you just replaced with a new one.
Yeah, great question. Every time a covered traveler takes a trip with Freebird, we charge their company a small fee. Think of it like a VIP service fee on top of the booking fee that they already pay. We pool those fees across travelers and use that money to pay for new tickets when a flight disruption occurs. The beautiful thing about our business model is that we're able to take those fees, you know, pay for new tickets, pay third-party service provider fees, generate margins for ourselves, and we're still able to save companies up to 40% of their disruption costs. And that's because, again, most of the costs related to flight disruptions that impact companies are related to unproductive employee time, you know, them standing in line instead of getting work done in the airport, missing meetings, you know, your head of sales isn't able to get to their pitch. Those are the main costs that companies incur. And if we're able to provide better technology, better efficiency to the moment of flight disruptions, we're actually able to save companies a ton of money, have a better traveler experience for those employees, happier travelers, and generate a business model that works for everybody in the ecosystem.
Interesting. So what's the typical size of the company you work with?
It's actually, there's a wide range. We work with Fortune 500 companies, and we work with very small companies, you know, based, you know, in the middle of the country. We work with companies that, from all different industries. So we have media companies, tech companies, pharma companies, manufacturing, energy, I could just keep going, education. It's been really interesting to see, you know, the level of demand across a lot of different sizes and industries. Really can, you know, we obviously, you know, and this is no surprise, we have a lot of conviction around our product and the value that it provides. It's been really gratifying to see so many different folks come to us and see the same value that we do.
So I want to make sure I understand the business model. So each of those employees who are part of the company and obviously travel, there's a user fee that's on a monthly basis, or what is the, each time they travel? Help me again understand, clarify that for me.
Yep. So every time a traveler takes a flight, we charge a fee per one-way flight. And we actually call it an origin and destination. We don't care how many layovers you have. All we care about is where you are and where you're trying to go. That's the traveler's perspective. You know, if you're based in New York and you're trying to get to Omaha for a business meeting, it doesn't matter that you had a layover in, you know, Houston. What matters is that you get to Omaha. And so we're very focused on that that traveler-centric perspective. So we charge the fee per one-way flight. And what's actually very interesting about kind of our business is, while it seems like a very, you know, it is a very easy-to-use kind of mobile application that people can use to rebook, what sits behind our application is a very robust data model. We're actually modeling risk in real time on a flight-by-flight basis to determine how much to charge for each one-way flight. So when a company comes to us and wants to understand pricing, what we'll do is run a year of historical data, travel data for their company through our data model. We'll enrich it with additional information like weather, flight disruption data, pricing availability data, actually show them a snapshot of what happened over the past year to your travelers on a flight-by-flight basis, and then show them how Freebird, not only how they're priced, but the, you know, the costs and cost savings associated with using a product like ours.
So what is the typical risk ratio of a business traveler these days? I mean, I feel like every time I travel, there's something. But I guess, you know, a lot of the inconveniences and delays, you're sticking with the same flight and you're sticking with the same airline. If there's a cancellation, they'll book you on the next flight. So they kind of take care of some of that, or try to, some of that for you. So help me understand how you see risk and how the business traveler uses you to help accommodate these inevitable delays and often cancellations as well.
Absolutely. So when we look at the raw data of how often flight disruptions occur, we look at cancellations, missed connections, and delays of 4 hours or greater. When you look at the raw data, you see that those types of events happen somewhere between 3% and 5% of the time. But as you pointed out, travelers don't always need to rebook. You know, sometimes they're on a flight route where there's only one airline that flies it. It's, you know, there's a specific flight in the future that's the next best flight, and that's the one that they're able to be reaccommodated on. In those instances, those travelers won't need to rebook. But what we found is that a significant percentage of it, you know, call it somewhere between a third and two-thirds of the time, travelers do need to consider other options as a part of their decision-making process. And a lot of those times, most of those times, they end up rebooking. The reasons why that occur is, you know, right now load factors in the airline industry are somewhere between 80 and 85%. That means every flight you're on is about, you know, 80% full. A single flight that is canceled in isolation, you know, that means there's 120 or so travelers on average that need to, are at point A and need to get to point B all at the same moment and no longer have a seat. So if you think about that airline trying to then accommodate all those travelers, well, every flight into the future also has is already 80% full. That means it's going to take that airline 4 to 6 flights to reaccommodate all those travelers. That may bleed into the next day. That means, you know, the vast majority of people are not on the next best flight. And that's not even considering other airlines. So a lot of the time there'll be another airline, maybe even a different flight route, to get people more quickly to where they need to go. So what we do is open up the universe of options. We allow travelers to find the best flight, and we don't make them wait in line or call the call center and beg for help. We actually go right to the source and just book them that flight, book them that seat immediately, so that there's no ifs, ands, or buts about whether they can get on that flight. And they can get on with their lives. And for business travelers in particular, that means they can focus on what matters, preparing for the meeting, getting work done in the airport, not stressing out on a work trip. One final note on this, which is actually something very interesting that we've found, is oftentimes travelers will rebook on the exact same airline that they were already traveling on. So they'll receive a reaccommodation, but again, it won't be the best flight. So they'll actually rebook with Freebird onto the same exact airline, just on a better flight.
Interesting. Wow. So I feel like I'm always in that 3 to 5%. I think a lot of business travelers do too. Does everyone who travels in your client corporations take advantage of this service, or is it optional?
It depends on the company. We go to travel managers and we come, you know, with a consultative mindset. We don't understand the business or the culture as well as the travel manager does. They're the ones who set the policy. They understand the corporate culture and their bosses, you know, the balance between traveler experience and cost savings. So when we go in, we have a very open mind. We can say, sure, let's apply this to 100% of travelers. And about half of our clients right now apply it to all travelers. There's a number of reasons for that. Maybe it's because they have a consistent policy for everybody. It may be because they're small enough so that there's too much overhead to manage anything else. The other half are able to select specific groups of high-value business travelers within their organization to apply Freebird to. And we typically recommend that, you know, they focus on people who add the most value to the business. That means senior management and executives. That means sales folks or client-facing people. And, you know, if you just look at the numbers and the statistics, the people who are typically the profit centers and revenue generators for businesses are the ones who travel the most. They're the road warriors. And so it ends up being this really interesting balance where we'll pick a very small group of travelers, call 10% of traveling employees, and they'll actually represent somewhere between 25 and 30% of overall travel spend. And so our penetration rates within our clients that don't choose 100% are actually quite healthy.
So this must also help with the economics of the corporate travel center itself, because if these travelers can be a little bit more self-sufficient, it does have some implications for the staffing model that these corporate travel agencies might need or might have to outsource. I'm sure that they do. You know, what they're paying to outsource those functions and activities elsewhere.
That's exactly right. A lot of agencies, especially the largest ones, do have incredibly well-trained, robust call centers to help people manage flight bookings, flight reaccommodations, flight disruptions. You know, that's what you think of when you think of a travel agent. There's a lot of highly trained people doing that. For a very long period of time, that was the only way to solve problems. But, you know, we've seen the advent of online booking tools. Maybe travel agents don't need to read itineraries over the phone. And, you know, you kind of go down the line and you start to say, well, travel agents are critical for providing high-value service to travelers when they need it, when they need human support. But there are a lot of ways that technology and better data and information can help to make a better traveler experience and remove the need for a large call center. If you kind of take a step back and think about the economics of a travel agency, historically, those call centers have been an important part of their business model from a revenue generation standpoint. That's actually changed over the last 30 or 40 years. The way that agencies make most of their money today is from commissions from hotels and airlines. They don't really make a lot of money. In fact, it's kind of they're kind of aiming for, you know, kind of revenue neutral with the call centers that they have. So when they charge these large fees for, you know, booking a flight or after-hours service, really they're just trying to cover the costs. Those centers are very expensive. And what Freebird does, we actually provide a front line of defense for those call centers. There aren't as many people during peak times calling in and asking to have flight itineraries read over the phone to them. You know, those agents, you know, are actually able to spend more time with people who need human support because travelers are able to rebook themselves and handle more of the high-intensity work on their own, the way that they're always used to, on their phone, making the selection and moving forward with their lives.
It's also, these changes aren't necessarily tied to a flight delay. Sometimes things come up on a trip and you actually need to change your itinerary. You need to scoot up to a different city for an unexpected meeting that does change the original itinerary. I guess Freebird can be used for that as well?
Actually, no. So we only cover official flight disruptions that are, you know, announced by the airline. We did a little bit of modeling to see if we could also cover voluntary changes or voluntary cancellations, and ultimately it would raise the price across the board for everybody so much we decided not to do that at this time. You always kind of have a bit of moral hazard when somebody
sure.
knows that they can sleep in, knows they can leave a little bit later for the airport and have the ability to, you know, change their flight without any cost associated.
Got it. So what about all these poor unmanaged travel agency travel people who are looking for a solution like this? Have you ever thought about licensing your platform to some of the online travel booking sites for others to use?
We've thought about it. You know, I believe that what we do at Freebird does have a value proposition for the mass market, whether you're traveling mm-hmm. as a leisure traveler and going, you know, I don't care if you're going home for the holidays or to a wedding or to a cruise, whether you're managing your own business travel or whether you have an agency to manage it, you know, flight disruptions still impact people's lives and prevent them from getting to the places that they need to be. So I absolutely believe there's an application beyond just the managed corporate travel space. The reason why we chose to go down this path out of the gate is because we're able to, you know, have more of a B2B sales process associated with it. We're able to get sophisticated traveler and travel manager feedback and get that feedback loop going as quickly as possible. And it's also a market where there's no competitor whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
Travel insurance, well, we like to say travel insurance is a hoax. It's sold in the leisure booking channel. You know, the problem is it doesn't cover travel-related events. It covers hospitalization and job loss.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it doesn't actually help you get to your destination. It's not a great value, but it's very profitable for the companies that are selling it. So there's an incumbent player that exists in, you know, the regular unmanaged and leisure booking channels. So for a variety of reasons, we decided to go into the corporate channel first, and we've been having such incredible success there. We've focused all of our resources on that channel. We've been growing volume 2x month over month since the summer,
wow.
and we actually expect that to continue over the next month or two.
Yeah, I mean, for this to work with the masses, you'd need a critical mass of travelers for your business model to work, although I think that's certainly possible. There are a lot of small businesses who, you know, whose owners and staff travel and who work through the admin or the office manager who gets stuck trying to figure all this out in between a million other things. But based on your model, you'd have to get a lot of individuals throughout a lot of companies for the economics to work. So
that's right, yeah.
Business model, probably.
But, yeah, that's right. And, you know, we haven't even talked about the 2 a.m. phone call that the, you know, the EA receives, which happens, and we hear those stories
yeah.
all of the time. You know, there is this education hurdle, as you kind of alluded to, when you're going through a, you know, online booking tool where we need to educate every single person one at a time on why travel insurance is a hoax, why we actually provide a value proposition, and why you shouldn't ignore us the way that a lot of the other ads are ignored. In the meantime, we can go and have these one-on-one conversations with sophisticated buyers and sign up hundreds if not thousands of people at a time, where it's automatically applied every single time they travel, totally hands-free, no opt-in required. And so the friction and the lack of competitors in the corporate space is just a lot more attractive from a go-to-market perspective. But we are absolutely thinking about how to expand beyond the current offering, because again, there's a value proposition that extends beyond corporate travel.
What's the most horrific travel-related delay story you've heard recently?
Wow, there's a lot of them. One of my favorite to tell was actually, it wasn't recently, it was about a year ago, but we had a traveler who was traveling down to Miami for kind of a weekend athletic event. And she was on her way back to New York when one of the winter storms from last winter, I think it was Winter Storm Jonas, hit. And so her flight direct from Miami back to New York was canceled, and she was sitting in the airport for like a day. We were able to purchase a new, and, you know, as you can imagine, the entire airport's just packed. I think they did a complete ground stop in New York, and then they were operating somewhere around 10 or 15% capacity for a full day because everything iced over. So we were able to find her a flight that flew through St. Louis back to New York about a half a day sooner than anything else that was available. So we quickly snagged that up. That flight was then canceled. But because we had purchased such an attractive, expensive, last-minute one-way ticket for this woman, she was able to pick up the phone and get through to that airline on one ring in this incredibly horrific travel disruption situation. One ring, get right through. They put her on the only flight, only nonstop flight from Miami to New York that day. And so we saved the day. And, you know, put yourself in the shoes of this traveler. You know, she's over 24 hours delayed, most of which she spent in the airport. She's missing work. She just had a great experience doing this athletic event, but, you know, now it's turned into a horror show. And she's sitting there communicating with us, calling us a hero, saying we're saving her trip. You know, even in the most terrible situations, helping people feel like they have more control, that they have the right available information, and that they can take action when they need to. You know, even when we're not able to solve problems, that makes people feel better, but most of the time we are able to help them solve their problems.
Yeah, no, Ethan, I think you hit the nail on the head. It's control. I mean, that is the worst feeling of all when you're on a trip and something happens and you have no information and you feel utterly out of control and in the hands of someone who's trying to accommodate, you know, to your point, 120 other people who are all screaming at him or her. So it's an awesome application. Thanks for giving me the opportunity to get to know it better.
Yep, absolutely. Thanks for having me.
And thanks to everyone who listened today. Have a great rest of the day and a good week. Bye-bye now.